Welcome to Healing Center. Let's open up with prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and for this opportunity we have to come to Healing Center and look at what your word tells us about how to conduct our lives, how to conduct our situation, deal with the situations that the devil throws at us and the attacks, and come out victorious on the other side. We thank you for the healing and salvation you've made available to us through Jesus' atoning work on the cross. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your mercy, your grace, and most of all for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The last 2 weeks we've talked about the hearing ear and what to hear, how to hear, so forth. We pretty well covered hearing. So let's turn now today to seeing and speaking what the word says. Proverbs 20, verse 12 tells us, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made even both of them." And we examine the hearing ear and the scriptures that pertain to it, tell us how to hear and so forth, as I just spoke about. And we're going to take a look at the sense of hearing and seeing, and seeing what the word has to say about seeing. The eye is, if anything, more complicated and intricate than the ear. Can we have the slide of the eye? It's a lot more little parts to that. I don't have them. Forgot to get a laser pointer. But you can see that it's very well designed by our Creator to take the light that comes in and turn it into a signal that our brain perceives as an object or something in motion or a word. Thank you, Wiley. The iris is what gives our eyes a color. This is not a lecture about eyes or anything like that, but the pupil is what opens and closes and lets light in through the lens, which is projected on the retina or the screen at the back of the eye. And the optic nerve takes that, whatever it registers, and carries it to the brain. And we perceive it as a word on a page or a person in front of us or a tree or a car or whatever. And there's a lot of little things in there that can go wrong, that the devil can mess with, but we refuse them. And we thank the Lord for giving us this marvelous organ of sight. It is really, truly wonderful. But I put that up to just kind of give us a sense of wonder at how we are made. Wonderfully and fearfully made. That's the phrase. In the Old Testament, there are five or six Hebrew words translated see. By far, the most common is ro'ah, which means to see literally and figuratively. To see, observe, perceive, gain understanding, examine, look after, or see to. The basic meaning is seeing with one's eyes. When we get into the New Testament, there are three main Greek words translated see or seeing. And we're not going to go into those. Same thing. The gift of sight. Proverbs is full of words of wisdom, good teaching, and precepts. Let's take a look at some verses that show the importance of seeing and applying the word to our lives. As we noted before last week when we discussed the hearing ear, the ear and the seeing eye are the two senses that help us get God's word down on the inside of us, into our hearts and into our spirits. And the only exception is Braille, if you can read it with you by touch. But that's not very common. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Verse 21 says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes." Well, I take that to mean to read your Bible often, study it daily, and with intent, with the intent of understanding, digging out the things that are hidden in it. And I don't know about you, but on second, third, fourth, 15th reading, I see things I didn't see in one of those previous readings. It's living and alive, and it really has a lot within it. Our eyes can read the Word, or in tandem or in cooperation with our ears, get Scriptures into the midst of our hearts. Remember, Christians are leaky, so it's important to keep the Word flowing into the midst of our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 11, the King James translation says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." The Amplified translation reads, "Thy word have I treasured and stored in my heart." Well, both are very well, very good. Treasured and stored. Verse 22, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Here's the importance of this practice: life and health to all our flesh, or healing. Healing. Further down in Psalm 119, in verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Now, we need light to see where we're going. We turned all the lights off in here and closed the doors. We'd be bumping into each other in the chairs trying to find our way around and get out, very possibly. We need that in the natural. The entrance of God's word through our ear gates and eye gates gives us the light we need to navigate each day with its challenges and its choices. And we face challenges every day, we make choices every day. And they can help us on our road to healing, or they can hinder us, depending on the choice we make and our response. Isaiah was given a commission by God in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not understand. Keep on looking, but do not comprehend. Make the heart of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed." Now, if our eyes and ears are closed to the truth of the Word, especially as it pertains to healing Scriptures, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We need to keep our focus there and keep those healing Scriptures and healing words in the midst of our heart and in the midst of our mouth. We'll talk more about that later. If we're attentive, listening to and looking to God, healing is ours. He's already provided it. Isaiah was to preach and warn the kings and the people of Judah about their apostasy and behavior. Yet in this commission, we can see that God knew the message would be ignored or dismissed by many. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21 is similar. "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." And Jesus quoted this passage from Isaiah in Matthew chapter 13, in verses 13 through 17. It's quoted again by Jesus in Mark chapter 4, verse 12. And Paul quoted it in Acts chapter 28, verses 26 to 27. The same situation exists today that's described in Matthew 13, 14 and 15. And this is Jesus speaking. And he was explaining to his disciples why he spoke in parables. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Wow. That's a high price to pay if you close your eyes and ears to the truth, to miss it on healing. Jesus is describing the willful ignoring of the message that Jesus paid the price for both our salvation and our healing. In Luke chapter 11, verse 34, from the Amplified Translation, Jesus is speaking again. The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, spiritually perceptive, focused on God, your whole body is full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. But when it is bad, spiritually blind, your body is full of darkness, devoid of God's word. A body devoid of God's word is wide open to Satan's attacks. It doesn't have the armor of God that Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you're not familiar with that, last August I presented a message here at Healing Center on the whole armor of God and how it protects us from Satan's attacks and how we can use it. So go back to last August if you want to review it online. Satan often attacks our health. He can attack our wealth, our family, our relationships, but he most often, it seems, attacks our health personally. That's where he can really get to us and play mind games in here. And we need to shut the door to him. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, Amplified, Jesus is speaking again. You are the light of Christ to the world. Hello, lights. Every one of you, every one of us here and online is a light unto the world. Let your light so shine. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Well, we have an obligation not just to shine it in our house, but all over the world. Let your light so shine before men in such a way they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and recognize and honor and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The example we set for others, the things they see us do and hear us say, can lead them to the place where they can believe for and receive healing and keep it. Share testimonies of healing. Share them. You're laughing because you do it, I know. And it doesn't always have to be your personal testimony of healing. It can be a testimony of someone else you observed being healed or that told you about their healing based on the healing scriptures in the Bible, based on their faith and belief in those scriptures and what they tell us. It's a very effective tool because reading it out of a book to some people might be boring or doesn't bring it to life, but if it's a living person in front of them that's telling them, then that brings it closer to home and they're more likely to receive. And I would add, we don't want to do it in a way that they would take it as a put down or condemnation for unbelief. We want to educate them, not alienate. Well, as we did with the hearing ear, what are we supposed to look at? What to see? Psalm 119 has a couple of verses that tell us what we should see. Verse 18, open my eyes to spiritual truth so that I may behold wonderful things from your law. This is from the Amplified Translation. Spiritual truth and wonderful things from your law. Now remember, the psalmist didn't have the New Testament. He had the Torah and maybe one or two prophets in some of those books, but he did not have available. And if that was David writing, he didn't have Kings and Chronicles and all that stuff either. He basically had the Torah. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you're looking for truth about healing and unsure of the right path to take, God's Word has the answers. They're not complicated or expensive. Healing has already been appropriated for us. It's a done deal. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 tell us this. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established as true. So there's two witnesses. So we know we have our healing. All we have to do is believe it, receive it, speak it, and act upon it. You get a chance to be one of those two witnesses. Speak it. Speak it to other people. Speak it over yourself and your family. See yourself healed and whole. And that's something we really need to focus on seeing. And that is a good use of imagination. You know, Paul tells us to cast down imaginations. Well, he's talking about the wrong kind of imagination. Seeing yourself healed and whole is not a bad thing at all. It's a good thing. Well, if we're going to look at those things in the Bible tells us, we ought to also look to see what it tells us about what not to see or what not to look at. Psalm 19 again. 119, I'm sorry. Verse 37 in the Amplifies. Turn my eyes away from vanity, all those worldly, meaningless things that distract. Let your priorities be mine, and restore me with renewed energy in your ways. Wow, that's a mouthful. Let me read that again. Turn my eyes away from vanity, all those worldly, meaningless things that distract. Let your priorities be mine, and restore me with renewed energy in your ways. Reading or listening to the mass media, you'll find lots of worldly, meaningless things to distract. It's flu season. Get vaccinated. Sports. Celebrity gossip. Wars and rumors of wars. Sitcoms, talk shows, and so forth and so on. And music, which we talked about, secular music. Keep your eyes on Jesus and the Word of God and off the worldly stuff around us. I know it's hard to do. We live in the world. We got to navigate in the world in our daily lives, but we don't have to embrace it. Psalm 101, verse 3, the first half of it, for me Amplified, said, I will set no worthless or wicked thing before my eyes. Can you find some worthless and wicked things on television, on the internet, on your phone, on billboards, in the newspaper, if anybody reads those anymore, magazines? It's not hard, but we don't need to set them before our eyes and make an idol of them. Job 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant, an agreement with my eyes. How then could I gaze lustfully at a virgin? This works both ways. Men looking at women, women looking at men. Don't look with lust and park your imagination. Turn it off. Do not see yourself sick, hurting, lame, deaf, blind, or any other such thing. See yourself healed. Well, how are we to see? In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered him, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. So, born again. Reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. Made into a new creature in Christ. You will not be able to see or experience the kingdom of God. But that's important. But where are we supposed to look? Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Psalm 123, verses 1 and 2. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heaven. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy on us. Look in God's word for scriptures that explain healing and the assurance that healing is for today, as well as yesterday and tomorrow. It is yours and mine. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, tell us so. He has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows and pains, yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, degraded and humiliated by him. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes or wounds we are healed. Notice that's present tense. Peter uses past tense. Done deal. We are healed, we were healed, we got it. Well, let's look forward a bit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, in the Amplified, reads, Beloved, we are even here and now children of God. It's not yet made clear what we will be after his coming. We know that when he comes and is revealed, we will, as his children, be like him because we will see him just as he is in all his glory. Wow, isn't that something to look forward to? Look forward. There's a Christian speaker who closes her talks. I think her name is Jan Markle. And she says, look back and thank him. Look around and serve him. Look ahead and trust him, and always look up for him. I thought that was pretty neat. That's where we need to be looking. Seeing's important. Would you agree? Yeah. You all want to drive home today, don't you? So you need to be able to see to get there. Well, it's important in the spirit realm too. In Acts chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, the crowds gathered and were paying close attention to everything Philip said as they heard the message and saw the miraculous signs which he was doing, validating his message. The crowds were using two of their senses here, hearing and seeing. Seeing validated, gave credulence to what they heard, and the results are shown in verses 7 and 8. For unclean spirits, demons, shouting loudly, were coming out of many who were possessed, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was great rejoicing in that city. And that was the city of Samaria, which has historically not been too friendly with Judah. Once we've heard the word, seen it and read it, and gotten the word into our hearts, our innermost being, what must we do in order for the word to be real, effective, and fruitful in our lives and in the lives of others? What must we do once we get it in our heart for it to make us fruitful, to be fruitful? What must we do? Speak it out of our mouth. Speak it. It doesn't do any good to keep it bottled up inside. It's good for you to hear yourself say it, and it's good for other people to hear the message. Well, what should we speak? How do we know what to say? In Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, Moses has seen the burning bush, and he's turned aside, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush. And God said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses starts making excuses. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I'm not a man of words, eloquent and fluid, neither before or since you've spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Wow, that's pretty direct. And Moses went. He might have thrown up a few more excuses, but none of them mattered either. The Lord convinced him, and he went. Is he speaking to you to go somewhere? Say something? Are you supposed to go to Pharaoh and tell him some message? From time to time, you'll get a nudge in the Holy Spirit. Someone just told me about that this morning. Go talk to that person. Don't let them get away. Speak into their life, or speak into their situation, or pray for them. Don't ignore that nudge. Psalm 119, again, has got some more advice for us on speaking this time. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Speak praise, and then speak the word. Speak healing scriptures and words, and speak them to and over other people. Psalm 145, verses 10 through 12 in the King James translation. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Thou shalt speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men, his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Well, our job is to make known his mighty acts of healing and salvation. Your testimony is powerful. We have to be convinced of ourselves first. So if there's any doubt and unbelief in us, we got to kick it out. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word. Another thing that we should speak, James chapter 3, verse 9, the first half of verse 9. Therewith, he's talking about the tongue. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. James has a wonderful discourse on the tongue in chapter 3. We're not going to go all through all that today, but I encourage you to read it. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord gave a commission to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall read, that's the seeing, and meditate, it's using your mind and your spirit, on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful. All Joshua had was the first five books of the Bible that Moses had written down at that time. That's all he had. But there was enough information and good teaching and parameters set forth in that for him to be healthy. He lived to be 110 or thereabouts, if my memory serves, and prosperous. And our prosperous for us, to me at least, means healing as well as material things, the things that we need. And Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5 again, by his stripes I am healed. Speak it, believe it. Speak it and believe it. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's a salvation. Yes. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And healing. What's a confession? In our case, it's agreeing with what the word says. It's a statement. It's a statement of something you believe to be true. You affirm it by speaking it. Make it your own. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20, Paul tells us to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, praise. We do that to open every service on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and sometimes other special services. And not just on special occasions, we need to be praising in our private prayer time with the Lord, thanking Him for everything He has done for us and given us. Well, what should we not speak? Let's look at the second half of James chapter 3, verse 9. And therewith we curse men which are made after the similitude of God. Ooh. James chapter 4, verse 11, first part says, speak not evil of one another. In James chapter 1, James has a lot to say about speaking. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. No cursing, no lying, no gossip, no murmuring and complaining. Don't talk sickness and disease. Do not speak doubt, unbelief, or fear. And here's an important one. Do not use a possessive pronoun when you're talking about a pain or a disease or something that comes upon, or an injury that comes upon you. Right. Don't say my heart condition, my arthritis, my broken leg, or whatever. It's not yours, so don't claim it. Don't claim it. Don't give the devil any opening there. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Solomon gave us this advice. Do not allow your speech to cause you to sin, and do not say before the messenger or priest of God that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry because of your voice or words and destroy the work of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams and in a flood of words there is worthlessness. Rather reverently fear God and worship Him with awe-filled respect, knowing who He is. How many of us can sin with our tongue? I don't see all hands going up, but we all can if we're not really careful. And when we do, we repent and cast those words down immediately. In the world we live in and the world we all grew up in, it's really easy to do that, to slip into that. And we don't need to be making excuses to God. We need to repent. A flood of words, there is worthlessness. Amen to that. Paul said he'd rather speak about 10 words intelligibly than 10,000 words in tongues that people nobody could understand. Okay. Quantity is not quality, especially in speeches. Forgive me if I run too long. In Proverbs chapter 6, there's a list of things that God hates. It begins in verse 16 and runs through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Notice three of these seven things involve speaking. Lying, false witnessing, and sowing discord, which is like gossip or rumors. Or keeping the argument going, or whatever it may be. No boasting about your... Oh, I'm in the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Proverbs 27, verses 1 and 2. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. No boasting about yourself. Here's an opportunity to use your mouth for good. Look for opportunities to praise someone else for a good deed. good-looking shirt, good-looking dress. But for good deed, good demeanor, speak a word in season, something uplifting. And of course, something pertaining to healing if they need to hear it, or to reinforce them, help them to build their faith and keep it built. In Titus chapter 1, verse 10, first half of that verse, "For there are many rebellious men who are empty talkers, just windbags and deceivers." So there's that flood of worthless words there again. We don't need to go on and on and on about something. And now, we'll leave that. Avoid the deceivers and don't be one. Well, when should we speak? We have opportunities every day. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 7 tell us, "To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." In verse 7, "A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak." And sometimes knowing when to keep silent is just as important as knowing when to speak, because you can make a situation worse by speaking the wrong thing at the wrong time. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. If He nudges you to say something, He'll tell you what to say. He will prompt you. Listen to Him. He'll guide you into all truth. You can overthink a situation, or you can overthink a response, correct response. What we need to be doing with our mouth is planting seeds or watering some that are already planted, whether we planted them or someone else, or fertilizing with the Word of God, or doing some weeding, pulling out incorrect thinking, thoughts, words. You can't force someone against their will to be saved or to be healed. But you can plant a seed and let it grow. And by degrees, over time, get them there. You don't put a tomato seed in the ground or in a pot in the greenhouse and pick tomatoes tomorrow, do you? No, you don't. It takes time, watering, fertilizing, weeding, care for it to bring it to, and protection too, to bring it to harvest time. In Mark 13, chapter 13, verse 11, in the King James, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you up," Jesus is speaking, "take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it's not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost." Wow. If we're Spirit-filled, we should let Him do the talking. If we're not Spirit-filled, we should seek to be Spirit-filled for just that advantage. Well, how should we speak when we talk? Joyfully, truthfully. James chapter 1, verse 19. "Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let everyone be quick to hear. Be a careful, thoughtful listener." We talked about that before too, I think. "Slow to speak. A speaker of carefully chosen words and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving." That's good advice in one verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3, second part of verse 3. "A fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." We already talked about that, the worthlessness of a multitude of words. In Psalm 141, verses 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." And I find myself praying that sometimes in situations. Keep the door of my lips. Speak only the truth. Speak no doubt and unbelief. Speak what the Word says about your healing. And doubt and belief or unbelief are healing killers. We don't want them to come out of our lips. Well, how else should we speak? Psalm 142, verse 1. "I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord." We don't pray in just our head, in our mind. We need to be praying aloud, speaking aloud. With, and let him hear our voice. Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless and gratefully praise his holy name forever and ever. Well, praise and thanksgiving should be first in our prayers. Not, oh Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. Praise and thanksgiving should be first in our prayers. We should praise him for our healing, for good health and continued good health, for salvation, and all else that he has done for us. Praise. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. In the Great Commission that is recorded in Mark, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, Paul is speaking. Then what am I to do? I will pray with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that's within me, and I will pray with the mind, using words I understand. I will sing with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me. I will sing with the mind, using words I understand. Now, Pastor Chris, 2 weeks ago tonight, June the 3rd, Pastor Chris had a wonderful teaching on speaking in tongues. And I would encourage you to look it up online if you missed it, because I'm not going to try. He does such a good job. That was June the 3rd, the Wednesday evening service. So I encourage you to watch it online. Well, why should we speak? We're talking about all these things that we should, how and why and what, why? Because, as we just heard, Jesus commissioned us to speak. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that tells us where to go and preach. And what to speak, the gospel. And the gospel includes the message of healing. It tells us who to speak to, all the world, all nations. What to speak, preach the gospel to everyone. Where should we speak? In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Matthew's version of the Great Commission, excuse me, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. All things includes healing. It points to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And I would refer you again to Pastor Chris's messages here in Healing Center during January and February. God's remedy, redemption. And it went on for both months, 2 months at least that much. And it was excellent teaching on God's remedy for all our ills, ails, injuries, diseases, and so forth. So, teaching, preaching, and casting out devils all require speaking out loud, boldly, but not yelling. You don't have to yell. You can whisper at the devil. Using your authority, and the whisper of authority, the voice of authority, and he has to obey. Using the name of Jesus. And speak emphatically. Don't leave him any wiggle room. Don't leave your mind any wiggle room. What are we supposed to do with all we learn about healing through hearing and seeing? Speak it out of our mouths. Speak it positively, emphatically, and preemptively. Now, there's a thought, preemptively. I'm going to tell you a story that illustrates how preemptive action can change a situation and the outcome of that situation. Now, this is a secular story, but it makes the point, I think. There was a game warden in a northeastern state, let's call it Vermont. I don't remember the details. His name was Herman. And Herman's job was to enforce the game laws, hunting and fishing and so forth. And there was in his county or his area a notorious poacher named Joe. And try as he might for years, Herman couldn't catch Joe in the act. He'd get there, hear the shot, but by the time he got there, Joe was long gone. Okay. He'd hear a story or a tale from somebody down at the country store, or a restaurant or wherever. Or somebody would tip him off, but he could never catch Joe. So finally, after years of trying, he hatched a plan. Now, Joe lived in a cabin out in the woods, no close neighbors or anything. So Herman parked his car a mile away in the dark about 3 a.m, and he snuck up to Joe's cabin clearing and found a good hiding place where he could watch the door. And he snuggled down in there to wait, okay? And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And finally, Joe came out on the front porch and hollered, "Hey, Herman, you don't need to stay out there getting ate up by them mosquitoes and bog bugs. Come on in and have a cup of coffee." So Herman very kind of sheepishly got up out of his hiding place, went on up to the house, went in and had a cup of coffee with Joe. And then they chit-chatted, and, you know, of course he gave up, he left. Well, he never did catch him. But years later, the two found themselves in the same nursing home. Now, they could get around, could talk, and as often happened, old adversaries become friends. And they became friends over time, talking. Okay. And finally, one day, Herman remembered that morning. And he says, "I got to know." He said, "Joe, how did you know I was out there that morning I came in and had coffee with you?" "Oh, I didn't. I did that every morning just in case you were." Now, what does that teach us?
Always be ready.
Be ready. But Joe was preemptive. He flushed his adversary out of hiding and destroyed the ambush before it happened. In the same way, we need to be preemptive in flushing our adversary, the devil, out of his hiding place, whatever way he comes at us, and destroy his ambush or his attack before it ever happens. So remember that story. I thoroughly enjoyed it when I first heard it. But it makes my point about the words we speak. It's essential for walking in divine health to be preemptive as well as positive. We need to routinely and frequently speak that we are healed. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Satan, sickness, disease, sin have no place in us. Ephesians 4, verse 27. Give no place to the devil. Not with our eyes, not with our ears, and not with our mouth. Could I have slide 3, please? Sum it up. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil about your health, your healing, or other things as well. It goes for the whole spectrum of life. Thank you. James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." I want to share 4 quotes this morning from E.W. Kenyon and Don Gossett's book, The Power of Your Words. And we have them in slide form. I'll step aside. Can we have slide 4? Faith's confession is always a joyful confession. It confesses perfect healing while pain is still in the body. It confesses victory while defeat holds it captive. Next slide, please. I have seen the hesitant confession, a forerunner of failure, and the joyful confession is a forerunner of victory. So what's your joyful confession about your healing, about your situation? You want a victory, do you not? Then don't be hesitant. Speak it out. Could we have the next slide, please? The words of your lips are the words that abide in you and dominate you. So what words are on your lips coming out of your mouth, our mouths, all of us? good words, truth, healing scriptures, and positive assertions that we are healed. We've got it. We just have to believe it and receive it and then act on it. And finally, last slide, please. With the mouth, confession can be made unto sickness, defeat, bondage, weakness, lack, and failure. I refuse to have a bad confession. That really sums it up. Refuse to have a bad confession. And the whole book is along these lines of power of our words and a positive confession. So I ask you this morning, what are you confessing? And what will your future confession be? What will your future confession be? None of that list that was just up there, but health, healing, long life, and prosperity. And the ability to lead others to Jesus so they can enjoy the same things. Amen? Well, thank you for being here this morning. Next week, we're going to change the subject altogether. We'll go a different direction. So, if there's anyone here this morning that would like to have hands laid on you to be prayed for,